Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Welcome to Gather Round. I'm Ruth Anna Martefio, and it is Wednesday, 20th of August, 2014. And unless you're living in a cave, and even if you are, you probably know there is so much in the news. In just a few minutes, Gwendolyn Holden Berry is coming in. We're going to talk about Ferguson, Missouri, which has made news around the world for the racism exhibited there and the militarized police. Then at the 30th minute mark, Sreet Jacobson views the world, and she'll be talking about Palestine and Israel. I'm sure she'll be mentioning Ferguson also, because this is in everybody's minds, particularly the people here that actually live in the U.S. and are seeing what's going on here. So I'd just like to mention a piece of news that was one of those that makes you just want to grab a bucket because of what was said. Some of you know that the U.S. journalist, James Foley, was beheaded, and there's a video of it, and his parents, you know, I mean, my heart goes out to them. They haven't watched the video, thank God. I mean, you know, that's something they need to see. But I thought this was quite a hypocritical statement, you know, also known as like a piece of shit statement by the U.S. President Obama, when he decried the beheading of this journalist, James Foley. He said, "It's an act of violence that shocks the conscience of It shocks the conscience of the entire world." And, you know, for him to say that, this man who's been responsible for murders, thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent people around the world, to talk about being shocked. And I am not negating the horrendous happening. I mean, beheading police. And we just had four men beheaded in Saudi Arabia. But of course, Saudi Arabia is the bed partner of the United States. So, you know, Obama's not going to say anything about that. So the hypocrisy here is beyond words. But on a more pleasant note, those of you who know me know that the Antarctic is something that fascinates me, and as is space and the all the potentials. Here was a piece of news that actually combined them. I love this. This week, Nature magazine reports the haul of thousands of different types of microorganisms from Lake Williams in the Antarctic. The members of the U.S. Wizard Project were the ones who do this. Now, they weren't the first, but these specimens are the least contaminated. And WIZARD, WIZ with two S's, it stands for the Williams Ice Stream Subglacial Access Research Drilling. So this is exciting because it has a lot of potential, benefits, definitely. And something that combines the two, the under the Antarctic and space, is the astrobiologists now are fascinated by what this may say about beyond Earth. So I thought that's one of those uplifting kind of things, because, you know, I say it all the time. I wish that when I would have been in school, I would pay more attention to science. because now at this point in my life, there's so many exciting things happening. And some of them I understand, some I don't. I just wish I understood a little bit more. But both of these articles are posted on the Aramarte Fio Facebook page. So look there if you want to, you know, get a little bit more of that. We're also, every time on Wednesday, we talk about simple living. I'm sure that many of you have heard or seen the phrase, live simply so that others may simply live. And actually, you know, there's a lot of truth in that, because so many people are struggling. And I don't mean just people in these war-torn countries, but people are struggling just to make ends meet, to take care of their families, to take care of themselves. And it doesn't help when America, or the U.S. rather, which has such a low population compared to the rest of the world, uses something like 40% of the natural resources. And, you know, we really don't have to. But I think it still goes back to being spiritually bankrupt. So people don't have that inner strength and inner knowledge. So they think that they can be happy by possessing things. And sometimes that includes people. But that's a whole other topic. But I would just say, you know, there's so much freedom that comes the more things that you get rid of, put out of your life. And I know I'm just continually doing that now, and I love it. I love the way it feels. I also have to mention that a week ago, my friend, sister in Australia, Jera Babylon Rootweaver, gave me the 7-day, 3-a-day challenge, which was for the next 7 days to write down, and you know, just post it on Facebook, that three things that I'm grateful for or positives in my life. For me, this was no problem because I keep a gratitude journal, and I may have talked about this before. My gratitude journal is 3 a day for things I'm grateful for. Then on the other side of the page, it's 3 more, and I'm saying 3, it could be more, but I always put down at least 3 things that either make me laugh, smile, or just feel good. So, you know, I do think about this each day, and it's a good thing to maybe wind your day up with. And these are small things, because we know we're grateful, and they don't have to be small, but I mean, we need to get into the small personal things too, and not just think of everything as a big, well, I'm grateful for the sun, of course, and, you know, maybe be grateful for what it does for you. You know, it helps grow the plants, gives you vitamin D, these kind of things. But, you know, also, just be grateful for that bird that you hear early morning. I like to have my coffee or tea, I mentioned this before, on my porch in the early morning. And that's when the squirrels are running around and semi-trying to be friendly. And I hear the birds and all this. So, you know, that's like the silence of the rest of the world I'm grateful for, because I just have my little sounds of nature. There's so many small things around our home. If we just make a conscious effort to be aware and not just be in such a rush, we have to get up and speed through everything, go someplace we don't want to be, to do something to make money that we need or we think we need, to buy things that we have no time to use, not even to mention the jobs that we don't necessarily like. I mean, it just goes on and on. So if you'll just remember, take a little time. You know, the old thing about take some time to smell the roses. Truly, smell the roses, to listen to the birds, to feel the grass under your feet, to read over a couple times a certain quote in a book that just hits you hard. Just take the time. Life really is to be savored and enjoyed. And now we come to Hello, Gwen.
Hi, Rob.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can. Yes. Much better than sometimes when we're just talking, the two of us. So, you know, I don't even know where to start. We're going to talk about Ferguson. First, I'd like to say that Gwen Holdenberry can be found in two locations, www.daughtersisis.com, her business, and www.blogtalkradio.com/here-b-monsters. Gwen has a radio station also here on Blog Talk Radio. And you do a lot of, you do spiritual shows, consciousness raising shows, and you also do political shows. So
we do the one show on Sunday, our Sunday show is a roundtable discussion of the week's events, generally speaking. We do have guests, like we had a young man from Brazil last week. Yeah. That's our political show. Yes, ma'am.
That's the political show, right. So, and then, I mean, politics, it's hard to keep them out of other shows. You know,
it
like
is.
You may not bill it as some kind of a political thing, but politics are everywhere, so, you know, some kind of politics. So we're going to get into those no matter what direction we're going, almost. But tonight,
well,
definitely.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, it's difficult not to tread into it. I'm trying more and more to remind myself to come from the most positive perspective that I can as far as all these shifts that are going on. It's an ugly place out there, and it's part of our job to make it less ugly, more caring, and more community, you know?
No, I totally agree. And that doesn't mean that we don't tell people the ugly, because people need to know, because otherwise they just go along in this fog. So people need to know. They also need to know that there's things we can do, there's measures we can take. And a lot of people are, besides just bemoaning all of these things.
Right.
So there was... I posted something today. I saw a father from Wisconsin whose son was killed 10 years ago by the police. And, you know, he was a white, blonde-eyed boy. And the father, he was saying, you know, the people were saying, well, wow, you know, if this can happen to this blonde white boy, think about what it's like for us blacks. And his father went on to... he didn't get a lot of response for a while, but he's since managed to get these kind of murders looked into, because at the time when he looked into, there had been a lot of like shootings of teenagers, and the cops were always exonerated, just beyond it, they were always. And he looked into it, and of course there was, you know, different police forces had endorsed different DAs who, you know, on and on, because politics are corrupt, you know? But now they have some kind of a board that isn't, I mean, it's more of a citizens board that looks into these and actually has a little bit of power saying things. So, I mean, one person can make a difference, but we shouldn't have come to that point. And I know you did talk about this on your show. What are your thoughts on Ferguson, Gwen?
One person does make a difference, even when it's just a prayer. I woke up this morning and I saw the picture of the Ferguson police, but it looked like Iraq. You know, it looked like Iraq. And all I could think is, well, the best I can say about that, I mean, is this the United States that I grew up in? And I have to remember, well, yes, it is, on and off, it has been. And the best I could do is think, well, I'm going to devote a few minutes today to just visualizing and putting the intention of peace out there. And so while I see my sister and you and a lot of other people I know do the gratitude, I just try to remember every day to take a few minutes aside and do the peace, because whether I'm having guests on this show or I'm talking, I'm tired personally of all the negativity, I think if we just come from that point of view and being angry about it, we're in a lot of trouble. And it's so easy for me to be angry. Look what is going on there. I mean, oh, Lord. And then to have, well, the Attorney General was there today, and he's glad-handing with people. Well, he's trying to pour oil on the water, which is a good idea. But how much of the oil he's pouring on the water is just stuff in the moment to make it go away, you know? And how much is really going to create some kind of a shift to a more positive community dynamic between community government, community police, and a wholeness there. You know, they're supposed to be the first responders. And most people these days are afraid of the police.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, the like people were saying, why are these cops, I saw this one, it was so funny. He was saying what a lot of people have said, like, why are the cops in camo? You know, camo is, you're supposed to blend in. This one man said, well, if they were going to blend in, they'd be dressed like a dollar store.
Dollar store, yes.
I thought that was funny. But it's true. You know, the police departments in this country now, some of them, I guess, pay a little bit, but others just have it donated if they request. A lot of this Army gear, they've got MRADs, they've got all kinds of weapons and gear that a policeman doesn't need.
We saw all this during the Occupy event.
They
brutalized occupiers, awfully.
Yes.
But nothing came up the way it has in Ferguson, because Ferguson is on the edge of rioting. You know,
exactly.
Bad, a very bad riot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really bothers me that people will go, well, of course it's wrong and bad and la, 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 but, you know, if people weren't out there looting stores and not, well, it's very few people that did any looting. I think that some alcohol or altered awareness had something to do with it. And the majority of protection those stores got was from protesters. So,
yeah. Which is not unusual, that part. We know that, I mean, it's been proven, just like in your home, you may be getting along just fine, and then somebody gives you some kind of a new toy for the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, you're just using it. I mean, you're using it to blend juices, to make sandwiches, you know, you're using it because it's a new toy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about these, all of this equipment that police forces don't need. They're going to use it. You give it to them, they're going to use it. This is just a basic. And this has been happening now for, a couple of decades. They've been getting more and more militarized. But now it seems in the last few years, it's been just so much more. And we don't need that. We need those cops that we used to have that actually took an oath to serve and protect. Remember, serve and protect. You can see that in some movies and things. You can see it on the cop cars.
Yes.
But we serve and protect, or something like that.
It's supposed to be on every police in the United States, every police store. Yeah.
It's supposed to still. And so, you know, it's like where did this change? Because now, yeah, we need to be protected against the police.
Well, you know, the thing is that there are a lot of police officers who more aptly fit the description of criminal. And yet, I would have to say, too, I keep reminding myself and others, because I'm the head of the neighborhood watch on this block, and I deal with the Palm Beach sheriffs, and they do a really good job by us, and most of them are really good protect and serve police.
Yes.
There are a lot of them out there.
There are a lot of wonderful policemen. I agree. And I really take issue when people talk about how all cops are dumb, because this is just not true. And,
no,
you know,
it,
I just generalize like that. No, I know some policemen. They're so smart and they're so funny. They're wonderful. I mean, I can't.
And they are there when you need them.
Yes, exactly. And so it is a small
percentage.
But
then you see state police, like our state police that pulled over, well, they zapped a father out of a truck who was pulling over to say, "You've pulled over my son, and I just want you to know that he's autistic, and I don't want him to get hurt." And they strong-armed him, and they brought him down to the... So I think that to a certain degree, too, police are responding to the animosity that they're receiving from the public.
Oh, yes.
Especially young officers. They don't know. They know they have to protect themselves and their fellows. So it's about protecting themselves while doing a job. It's not about protect and serve. Because
it's very
too much scary. Fear.
It's scary. You know, they used to say, like, one of the most dangerous positions for a police officer was to be called in on a domestic. Nobody wanted to go to those because people are waving guns and knives and the cop may end up dead or at least hurt. And
yeah, it's a high emotional volatility.
Exactly. And so, I mean, policemen have always put themselves in danger, like firemen. I mean, this is... While they're doing their job of protecting the rest of us, they do put themselves in danger. But now, I think to be a cop it's quite dangerous, more so now than ever, because so many people have heard all the stories, which are true, of these bad cops. And so, like, everybody's on the offensive. We're on the offensive. The cops are on the offensive. It's no wonder that... we have clashes.
Well, the goal has become trust in the community.
Yes.
That's
and,
the goal. And people
there's no trust.
Community leaders, this is something I've seen in Ferguson, too. There's no unique, distinctive, living in the community leaders who have come out in front of this protest to bring cohesion.
No.
To the group, to the community, and act as the go-between or the spokesperson. There's no MLK there, in other words. There's no, Abby Hoffman. There is no one there.
Yeah. No.
To act as
one really has stepped up, which is quite strange because usually you will have someone. I did read something that a lady had said that, because we're saying, okay, there's 60-some% of the people in Ferguson are black, and out of 60-some police officers or something, there's three white. I mean, there's three black ones.
That's true, but it's
things
more
like that. But she also said that most of the blacks in Ferguson don't vote, and it's one of those things that, I mean, there's a lot more to it because it's a friend who lives not far from there does talk about that area, Missouri, being very, very racist. And so I think that we know, okay, politics are crooked. So I think that a lot of people, just like in the rest of the country, they think their vote doesn't count. So they just don't. And so a lot would have to change. I mean, it's... And I'm not saying
that's a lack of leadership. That is a lack of leadership in the community.
Exactly.
And really, didn't catch your last sentence.
I just said go ahead. I interrupted you.
Oh no, I'm just the lack of leadership. Oh, we do require leadership. I think the leadership can be found in groups. A group can become the leader.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be trust built in the communities again. And with the police militarized as the Department of Homeland Security has done for them,
yes,
it's just not going to happen. They're bringing in armored vehicles into cities that can't even support the armored vehicles treading on their streets. It rips up their streets.
Exactly. It's like some little country town does not need these armored vehicles. Any of these MRADs, they don't need them. The worst thing that happens there is, I don't know, I mean, if somebody gets busted for, like where I live, for making meth, it's what people do for a hobby where I live, okay. But that's it. We don't need a bunch of armored vehicles and things like that. We don't have them either, thank God, so far. But,
No, we don't. We need trust. We need community trust. We need peace. We need people going out and bringing the awareness up of how, okay, there's been trouble. This is our opportunity to unite and stand in solidarity with each other. And from the ground up, this is how we change the country, how we change the planet. Yeah, act local and you think global.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the way. It has to happen. And also there's, I mean, I'm not sure somehow, having these kind of weapons, like I said, they're going to use them. If they have them, they will use them. And I read something or saw something, and you probably did too, about, because we all in the movies, we see SWAT teams, right? They say that, I forget, a high percentage of SWAT teams are used when they're going in to serve a warrant or a house search or something. It's like, it's not, I mean, you don't need a SWAT team for that. You don't need a SWAT team.
But here's the other reality on that one. With the gun laws the way they are and what people can get, especially criminals and drug dealers can get their hands on, if they don't use tactical equipment, especially in big cities, to protect themselves, they can get mowed down. They can. It's just true.
They can. I mean, it should go by the individual instance. And also, we actually have, I agree with a friend, we have plenty of gun laws. What we don't have are people that will enforce them. Because there's so many ways to get around them, and they just let them go. We've got the laws, but they're not being...
You can sell at a gun show legally where the state says, no, you've got to wait at the gun show, you don't have to. There's a lot of loopholes in gun laws.
But also, I mean, we have to recognize that it really doesn't matter. It may be my next-door neighbor has to dance, three ways to Sunday to get a gun, and he only wants to protect his family. But if he wants to get it legally, but it doesn't matter because the criminals, they all have guns. They are powered. And, I mean, it's not that hard to buy it illegally. So, there's a certain mindset that's got to go, but I want to close with, like, one of, our friends, Janet, said, she's from near Ferguson, and she said, it doesn't matter if the kid stole cigars. He did not deserve to be executed. And I totally agree, because that was one of those really stupid points when the cops when they told the name of the cop, then finally, and then they showed the video of
that
him.
That was that cracker. That was that cracker who's head of the police force in Ferguson. He's a cracker, and you just look at him, you know what he is.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I mean, that sounds ignorant of me to say, but he proved it out in that moment. And
he did.
By the way, has anybody really for sure that Michael Brown stole cigars? There was another piece of information going around. He was paying for them.
Yeah, see, I don't know. But they
none
they
of
will
us really
to,
know.
No, but they would. I mean, like you said, the cracker cop was, you know, trying to make it seem like it was okay to go after this kid because he stole. It's like, you know, cracker actually flatters him. There's other words we could use, but we won't.
Well,
but,
you know, I come from the land. I come from the land of the Grand Dragon, so I would just say cracker and be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. He's some cracker honky that doesn't know whatever, but that's what the people there are dealing with. So I was.
It is.
I'm happy, if you can be happy about something like this, to know that so many people around the world are tuned in on this now. I mean, and we know we have, for some reason now this caught the attention, because this country, the police forces here, they murder black teenagers all the time.
Right.
But this, possibly because of the racial tension there and the such a high black population and low blacks as cops and on, maybe that caught the attention. I'm not sure, but the time was right. So people around the world are totally aware, and it was one of those like teary moments. There was a sign that some people in Gaza were holding up. Gaza supporting Ferguson.
Yes, it's amazing. And the parallel that's being drawn is 100%.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, people who are, the country's occupied, they're treated as third-class citizens. And yet, I mean, because they're feeling the empathy. And so their hearts are going out to the people. And so I think that these are all signs of a better world to come, Gwen, I swear. That doesn't mean going to be easy, but it is going to come. So
I agree, Ra. I do.
Yeah. And thank you so much for all you do. You are tireless.
Back at you.
And Gwen can be found
back
on Facebook. Also, daughtersofisis.com again, and blogtalkradio.com/here-be-monsters. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome, sis. Take care.
You too. I was trying to play some music here, Suri, but I'm not hearing it. So it's just another Well, Suri Jacobson, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So, another wild week.
Well, that's what I said at the beginning of the show, that you'd probably have a couple things to say about Ferguson, too, because I know that you've been following it very closely.
Yes, I have been following it closely. I was expecting something like this to happen with all the military gear.
Exactly.
And since our cops are trained in Israel, this is what happens.
Exactly. That's what Gwen and I were just talking about. Like, you give people some kind of a tool or a toy, whatever, and they're going to find something to do with it. They're not going to put it in a closet and hide it. You know, they're going to get out there and use it. So this is what comes of it.
I believe it's a problem of racism.
Pardon, Sarita,
it's
I didn't catch
racism.
That. Oh, definitely, definitely.
My eyes were opened about racism in America a few years ago, and I was talking to somebody quite powerful in the music business, and he said that there's people high up in the KKK who actually run states in America.
That's not a surprise.
And I thought he was joking until I started to hear. The state he was talking about was actually not Missouri. I think it was North or South Carolina. But this is totally to be expected. And especially if there's people who are racist, the police have all the power.
Yes. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, when you first came to this country, I mean, you probably didn't imagine that some, I mean, well, I know there were a lot of surprises when you came, but you probably did not imagine at all something like this would go on, did you? I mean, you've been here for quite a while.
No.
And
no, I didn't.
That's,
I'm just learning.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, a lot of us who were born here, we never expected anything like this either. But in the last few years, yeah, we have. So we're not surprised. But up until the last few years, if you would have told me, I'd have said, you know, like, right, well, what are you on? You know, this is the U.S. We don't behave like that. So I do agree that this is very much a racist kind of thing, because young black men are killed, I wouldn't say every day, maybe not quite every day, but very, very, very often.
Every day.
By the
28 hours, I heard.
That's right, it was 28 hours. And nothing is done. You never, you know, the police are exonerated. It was always the kid's fault, no matter how many times he had his hands in the air and they shot him in the back and on and on. So
they're like Palestinians here.
Exactly. I mean, that's why, I know you heard me say that I had seen the thing of Gazans with the sign, you know, Gaza supports Ferguson, and I just cried and talking about it, you know, misty, because, I mean, this is from a people who have just been downtrodden and beat on and had their land stolen, their orchards burned, everything, and yet they have the empathy to support another group of people who are going through the same thing. And it is the same thing. Like Gwen mentioned earlier, you see pictures, it looks like Iraq because of these MRADs, which have no business in any American town. And, you know, we don't need militarized vehicles for the cops. This is absurd. So, it's crazy. But
it is, isn't it? In
Israel and Palestine, obviously, didn't last all that. I mean, the ceasefire, because there's a lot more Palestinians have been murdered, including
a today was a heavy
child.
Day of bombardment, heavy day today. And I have friends in both sides, but I worry about my friends in Gaza because the missiles that fall in Israel have been proven to be pretty harmless.
Exactly.
The Israeli government, in the meanwhile, it's blocking Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International from entering into the Gaza Strip and preventing researchers from investigating the assault. That is from it's an Israeli reporter called Amira Haas. Amira Haas. She lives in Gaza, and she reports.
Well, see, but so that's the whole thing. I mean, Israel totally gets by with all these things. That if any other country refused to let amnesty and human rights organizations in, oh my God, we'd be sanctioning them or something, you know? But it's
absolutely
Israel, so it's like
they're getting close.
Hell. You know, it's just so unfair, and it's so wrong that the U.S. goes along with this, because man, they wouldn't take that from anybody else. It's like you're not going to let us come in?
No.
We're going to close your ports. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And, oh,
the holy cow of the Middle East.
I don't know if you knew, and I forget what it's called, an Israeli ship was going to, it got to Oakland. You know, the port of Oakland.
Yeah.
Oakland, California has some real rare and activists. Love those people. And, I mean, they got out there. And they kept the ship from unloading. Then supposedly it was going to Los Angeles, and it went out into the Bay Area a little bit, and then it came back. And but so far, very little got unloaded, the last I knew. So, I mean, once again, Oakland came through. They take their chances, and I think a lot of other places should do the same. Because they did at least keep the goods that were perishable, pretty much perished. They didn't get to unload them, and which is sad when you think about food and people needing food. But the people there didn't need that food. It wasn't like a third world country where people were starving. So, I find it very interesting that now that didn't get a lot of press. Because this country doesn't. You have to find these things on Facebook or some other social media. You can find them online.
Yeah.
But the media, the mainstream media.
Israel has lots of friends in the media.
Yeah.
And what they don't get is that Israel is shooting itself in the foot. People who care about Israel should care about other people, too. It shouldn't exist on the account of the other.
So it's one of those.
There's room for both.
People will say, well, I don't care what's happening over there, quote unquote over there. It's not happening to me. Well, yes, it is, because we are all connected, and so, as long as someone is not free, none of us really are. So even if and for selfish reasons, people should want freedom for everyone. But many people don't look at it that way. They try to distance themselves. But what else has gone? Oh, I did, when you were talking about the missiles from Gaza into Israel, this is true. They don't have a good guidance system, so they really just pretty much go in and fizzle out. They really rarely hurt anyone. Now, we're not saying that they couldn't, and I'm sure that the Israelis that live close are scared.
They're terrified.
Right? They are.
They're terrified. They left their homes.
They've got shelters and bomb shelters and
they're
things.
They're still terrified.
And, I mean,
they only have 15, 20 seconds to find a bomb shelter.
Yeah. But the thing is,
and the children are taking it really.
See, they have the bomb shelters. Whereas in Gaza, there's nothing. And those missiles land where they
nothing.
Want. So
many people don't even have a home right now. They're homeless, walking around the city, not knowing what to do, where to go. They bombed the United Nations place the other day, killing
kids. Right, because
kids
people thought that would
adults.
Be a safe place. I mean, supposedly
well,
it would
Israel
be.
Thinks it's a joke. Israel, they're telling the Israelis the United Nations are Nazis. So some of them take it really seriously and bomb the United Nations when they see it. In fact, the Israeli right wing has a joke on Facebook, I noticed. They like to show a map of Gaza and show how everywhere there's UN, so everything is UN in it, and schools. They're really good at denial. I've never seen a whole nation so good at denial besides a few thousand cold people. The denial is so deep and so hard to communicate with them about it and tell them when you tell them it's happening. It's just like the Twilight Zone. They don't get it.
Well, it's denial, but I think it's no worse than the denial right here. A lot of people
absolutely.
Are stuck
denial is denial, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear it very much.
people just get stuck
also
in there.
They have people, a Jewish person was caught putting anti-Semitic comments on Palestinian pages to try to make Palestinians look like they hate Jews.
And
I found out it's a crawl from Harvard University, according to commondreams.org. And I always suspected they're doing this.
Right, because the Palestinians I talk to, they don't hate anyone. I mean, they...
I know.
That's
people don't want to cause oppression to others.
Yeah. Before their land was taken away, the Arabs and the Jewish people and the Christians, they all lived together. I mean, of course, they had a little disagreement. They were doing fine.
It's just a myth that they didn't get along or fought. It's not true.
No. And even now, it's you see the pictures of the... Well, remember recently when the Israelis wouldn't let the Palestinians go to their mosque for some kind of, I think it was the end of Ramadan.
Yeah.
And they
always have restrictions on the mosque.
Right, but did you see, a rabbi took them in, I mean, they got to do their final in a synagogue. Because a rabbi,
great.
I mean, the people themselves are fine when they're not stirred up by all this propaganda and the lies.
We're very close.
Yeah, well, and there again, you know, people say, well, you know, if you're that they don't understand that Arabs are Semites also, and so you know that's those. They call people anti-Semites if they're against the Zionists.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
All Arabs are Semites.
Yeah,
all
so
Arabs. Iraqis.
It's unlikely that we're anti-Semites because we're for the Arab people just like we're for the Israeli people. We're just not for their stupid, greedy government.
Anything to shut us up.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, to divide people, and that's what this propaganda is all about, to divide people.
And it really divides us well.
Yeah, they do a good job. I saw now Gaza has about 6 hours a day of electricity. So that's what they've come to. And of course, the water is still... beyond.
And everyone I know in Gaza gets sick quite often, probably from the stress and probably from
sure.
the bad water.
Well,
the ocean
yeah.
where they're fishing at is also where sewer water goes into. Gaza
sure.
is a big humanitarian crisis, ghetto under siege.
It's a crisis. It's such a small area, mileage-wise and everything.
It's been shrunk. Israel
well,
took
right,
some of
right.
their land on the
right.
border.
Yep, even
smaller. And because of that, they lost 44% of Gaza has been taken away as a buffer zone.
Yeah. And you've got 1.8 million people, whatever, there, and the hospitals have been bombed. The schools have been bombed. It's... Right.
The mosques have been bombed. They have to pray in church.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for them.
Of course they have stress. Of course they're stressed. And not the right kind of food. They're not getting the food they need. Not even as many calories as they need. Plus that water. So of course they're going to be sick. I mean, and when you don't even have the simple... You know, penicillins and these things that will knock some things. But when you can't get that because they've been bombed out and, you know, no medicine's coming in, it's not a good sign. But yet the people managed somehow to have hope and mostly keep up their spirits. So
they're just amazing, and the kids
they
go
are.
Out and smile and play in the rubble. Never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
This is a real shame that American Zionists are supporting this. Is thanks, they have the power to stop it. There's 7 million of them here.
Exactly.
And, we need to get together in our cities and protest. Every
yes.
city has protests, and it's really easy to find them. Just look them up online. All the Palestinian pages post them.
Yeah.
They have protests, and you can register on their emailing list. The women in black in Israel have been attacked while the police was watching. More attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank. Tons of arrests on the West Bank every day, including young kids. Huge riots in the West Bank, all over the West Bank. It's hard to follow. It makes me dizzy. There's so much going on at any given moment. I mean, it takes a huge army like IDF to keep those people occupied that are so strong and resistant.
Yeah. Yes, I think about 2 hours ago, maybe an hour before it came on the air, I saw that, I think it was East Rafa was being attacked at that time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what has happened there. And for people who don't
over
know,
100,
that
over
is
100
a,
bombs fell in Gaza.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, it was actually over 145. I'm
well,
really
the,
bad at numbers.
Is, unlike the missiles that shoot off into Israel, the bombs that drop in Gaza are really doing damage. I mean, they have to because it's such a packed, tight little place. I mean, anything that lands is going to, if it, I mean, it may kill somebody, it may not, but it's going to do damage to property, if not people.
But those who sell the weapons are making a killing right now. There are weapon manufacturers in Israel of them are making record profits, and those who watch the attack on Gaza are those who want to buy those weapons, and they watch the attack and decide what weapons they like. So they're using Gaza as a commercial to sell their weapons.
Sure. See? I mean, that's it. And I mean, they try new things, and
lots
and
of
so
new things.
It's, I mean, isn't that a great way to show what your weapons will do and make more money? I mean, how soul-destroying is what that is. People who do that maybe not realize how they're destroying themselves. It's it's really sad.
I assure you, any soldier that does bad things, they all tell me it destroys part of their soul, and some of them will commit suicide. More people in Israel will commit suicide from what they had to do in IDF than from any rocket, I mean, by far. Same in the United States, by the way. The American soldiers are committing more suicide than dying in combat.
Yep.
Imagine what they have to do. Actually, it's things we don't even imagine, because I've spoken to a lot of veterans who I've been pretty close to, Israeli, American, even Palestinian veterans. And even if you fight a just war, it scars you in a way that you never forget what you did, and
no.
you get really depressed.
No. And no matter what kind of a religion or faith you have, it's... I mean, you can't, no, you will never forget what you did. And if you can manage to forgive yourself, you're quite fortunate. I mean, and then go out and do like the Breaking the Silence people are doing, the Veterans for Peace, these people who are telling, they want the world to know how debilitating.
Good people don't forgive themselves.
Yeah, well, they want people to know what they did. Under the when they were in the military. And you know, it's sort of, I don't understand. Some people, I think that the only way they can do it is they put their conscience on hold and they numb out a part of their heart. They totally go numb. Then when it's done for them, when they get out, it's like their conscience comes back up to the top. I can't live with themselves. So that's why we're having the suicides. And then the other people, also, then they'll go ahead.
Basic training is so cruel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really, really abusive.
But it's a mind control
thing.
Yeah. It's
and
one
by
of the
time you're done with it, you're a robot.
That's what they want, though. I mean, they totally tear down a person, and then they build them up in a certain way. And, that's what you can tell a lot of times when you see somebody. You say, oh, I bet he was in the military. And, you know, he walks a certain way, right? And it's like a robot. There's certain things that are just pounded in, not necessarily literally, but emotionally pounded into their heads during these trainings.
Absolutely. It's very soul damaging from what I've seen growing up there.
Yeah.
For a long time, I wondered why everyone gets destroyed when they go to the army. So I was too young to know anything about what's happening. Yeah. It's
right,
but just
still,
seeing what it does to people.
Well, that was it.
It's
when you were
Twilight
Zone.
Yeah.
You saw people come back, and they weren't the same people. So.
Not at all. You don't know who they are anymore. I mean, some don't change. But the warriors do. Or the occupiers.
But now, because of social media and people just being more aware, we've got more and more people, whether it's Veterans for Peace, the Breaking the Silence people, we have more people coming out and speaking. So this is all good. Social media has done...
And record number of refuseniks.
Yes, I know.
Wonderful.
Yes, these are heroes. And
and they go to jail for a year or two.
Exactly. They're very brave because they know that what they're doing is not praised. They know it's frowned on, and they know the chances are they're going to go to jail. And even
and
if they
know
don't,
it might bring, financial doom to their future. Very hard to find a job.
Exactly. I mean, and their families may be picked on somehow. I mean, it's just a very brave thing to do. So, no. I want to say that you can be found, Sri Jacobson, on Facebook. Also, go to Daily Life of Palestine. Check your, if you, I use DuckDuckGo, but any kind of thing that you use to research, look up Sri Jacobson. You will see her paintings, Sarit. You have been painting more and more. I know you've been just turning it out. So
there'll be new paintings coming up soon.
Yeah.
It takes so long.
It's good. You do such wonderful work, so everybody benefits from that. And then it acts as a stress reliever, I think, for you. So it's a win-win. So
I am painting right now.
See, that's wonderful. You just do it while you talk. So it's all good. But our time is up, and I just want to thank you and say we will be back next Wednesday, and maybe we'll have some more good news. Who knows?
Want to hear of a into the occupation fast. Come on, people. Call your legislators. Harass everyone. Call the Israeli embassy. Don't be shy.
Let them know. Yeah, the time for shyness is past. So
don't be shy. If everyone calls, just
thank you, Sarit.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.